At this point, I want to invite our speaker for tonight, Laura, if you want to step up. Laura has been involved here for a while. She does a ton of different things. Right now, she's on church council, and she's going to share her faith story this evening. So come on up. Go ahead.
Hello. A couple of weeks ago, when Pastor Mike asked me to share my faith story, I immediately answered yes. After the fact, I couldn't believe what I had just committed myself to because public speaking is what my nightmares are made of. I like talking to people in groups, but there is just something about a microphone that puts butterflies in my stomach and makes my heart race. I am excited to talk about my faith, though, so here goes nothing. In middle school, I started getting severe headaches, the kind of headaches that made me nauseous, vomit, and isolate myself in a dark, quiet room for hours, and sometimes days. I was eventually diagnosed with chronic migraines. This meant that 15 or more days a month, I had a migraine. Back in the 90s, migraines were not recognized well in the medical field, let alone in children. This made me feel very alone and depressed. It also created a lot of anxiety. I honestly became afraid to commit to after-school activities and go places far from home. My relationship with God at this point was not very strong. I grew up Catholic, went to church on Sundays, and CCD class during the week. I would pray for my migraines to stop, but I felt God never answered my prayers. I started to feel as though God was punishing me. Why, God? Why are you doing this to me? What have I done so wrong to deserve this? My mom was my main support during this time. She would advocate for me at doctor's appointments and sit at my side and hold my hand when I just had to wait for the pain and vomiting to stop. I eventually stopped going to church with her because I felt like God didn't care about me. While my faith was getting weaker, I noticed how strong my mom's faith was. I would see her at home studying the Bible and reading passages. I would talk to her about how I don't understand why God would do this to me. I remember her one time telling me that God loved me even more than she did. I didn't believe her, but I still listened and kept the door open with God. When she would pray for me, it did bring me great comfort. Watching her stay strong in her faith, I think, is what never made me turn back completely on my faith. I graduated from high school and started college in 2001. As an adult, there were more medications available to take for my migraines. The medications helped a lot, but I still really struggled managing school, part-time work, and migraines. Looking back at it now, I can see how having a chronic illness shaped me. Many doctor's visits and emergency room visits allowed me to meet some great doctors and nurses that truly cared about my well-being, and some not-so-good ones. The good ones made such a difference in my life that I wanted to do the same for other people. In 2005, I graduated from UW-Milwaukee with my bachelor's degree in nursing and took a full-time position at Aurora Hartford Hospital. I was still not going to church, and my praying had turned more into bargaining with God. God, I get it. You gave me migraines so I would go into healthcare and serve others. Can you give me a break from them now? This form of prayer didn't seem to reach God any faster, though. In 2009, I met this very ambitious guy named Dustin Hahn. He was divorced, had two young kids, worked a full-time job, and went to school part-time. I didn't think he would have enough time to start a new relationship, but he proved me wrong, and I quickly fell in love with him. We both believed in God and were missing not having a church in our lives. We did some church shopping together and found Our Savior's Lutheran Church in West Bend, and we were married there on October 6, 2012. We had a ceremony filled with love that included Jack and Lily, my new stepkids. I was enjoying my life as a newlywed and stepmom, but I really wanted children of my own. I didn't know how this would work for me because a lot of the medications I was on to help prevent migraines, you can't take when you're pregnant. I had a wonderful neurologist at the time who gave me the confidence that I could have children of my own and manage my migraines. What a blessing she was. In the summer of 2013, we found out we were expecting a baby. I felt so blessed to be pregnant with this baby because for so long, I didn't think it was a possibility. From the moment I found out I was pregnant, I was so in love with this baby. I wanted to do everything right and keep this little one safe. On my first OB appointment, we did an ultrasound, and we saw this little being moving around. We even saw the flickering of the heartbeat. I felt overjoyed seeing my little baby. We waited till the safe time of 12 weeks pregnant to tell our two other kids, family, and friends. This happened to fall on our one-year wedding anniversary, so we decided to have a small party to celebrate and told everyone we were pregnant. It was all perfect. I had two more OB appointments after that where we got to hear the heartbeat. Everything was progressing perfectly until it wasn't. My world changed forever on Tuesday, December 3rd, 2013. I had my 20-week OB appointment that morning. At that appointment, I answered all the usual questions, had my blood pressure checked, and everything was good. Then it was time for the heartbeat check. It was silent. Panic began to set in. She got a different Doppler and again could not find the heartbeat. She calmly told me she wanted me to go downstairs for an ultrasound. I was terrified. I asked her if this had ever happened to a different patient before. I don't remember her direct answer. I just remember she wasn't hopeful. I had to wait over an hour before I could get the ultrasound. I called Dustin and asked him to come. I waited in that little room, thoughts racing. This has to be a mistake. Please, God, let this baby be okay. Dustin made it on time to go to the ultrasound with me. He held my hand tight, us both praying we would see a heartbeat. I knew enough about ultrasounds to know the tech was measuring the head, arms, legs, and torso, but there was no heartbeat. The doctor came in and confirmed the bad news. She explained that the next steps were for me to go to the labor and delivery unit in Grafton and deliver my dead baby. That was the hardest thing I have ever done. This is a unit usually filled with such joy and excitement. That was not the case for us. Tragic is the only way I can think to describe it. We had our little girl that night, Josie Rose. I am grateful for the nurse that was there with me that night. She had done special training for helping parents cope with pregnancy loss. The nurse wrapped Josie in a tiny yellow felt blanket and the tiniest white hat. I held Josie and looked at her perfect tiny hands and feet. The nurse took pictures of her for us and even did her little hand and footprints. The next morning, I was discharged but offered many opportunities until then to hold her again and say a final goodbye. The next several weeks were the saddest and angriest of my life so far. I didn't realize it at the time, but what I was feeling was common grief feelings. Man, they were intense. I called out, "Why, God? Why did you do this to me? Why would you bless me with a pregnancy only to take the baby away halfway through?" It felt like a really cruel joke. That Christmas season, I merely survived. I made myself do the normal Christmas activities at our house for Jack and Lily's sake. Silent tears ran down my face that Christmas Eve service. My heart was broken and my arms were empty. I look back at this time of my life with great sadness still 12 years later. An autopsy was done on Josie, and from that we found the cause of her death was from a chromosome abnormality. It was not caused by my genetics, the Imitrex I took for my migraines, or anything else I was blaming myself for. The doctor said they had no reason to think it would happen again with a future pregnancy. There were some blessings that occurred during these very dark days, though. Our next door neighbors hosted a neighborhood Bible study group. They invited us to join after Josie's death. Dustin and I joined looking for anything to help us get out of this deep, dark hole we felt stuck in. I'd never been part of any Bible study group before this and hadn't opened a Bible in years. The group was an amazing support. Dustin and I also really enjoyed learning more about the Bible together. With a lot of prayer, we got pregnant again. We were overjoyed and terrified. I had a simple blood draw the first trimester that reassured us that this baby did not have any chromosome abnormalities. It also let us know we were expecting a boy. I prayed a lot during this pregnancy. Can you believe I was also blessed with no migraines during the second and third trimester? I had not felt this good since I was a child. A little over a year later, I was back in the labor and delivery department having my son, Sam. Such a full circle event. 1 year and 2 days later, I went from the worst day of my life to the best day. When he was placed on my chest, I could not help but sob tears of joy. During the pregnancy, Dustin and I had decided we were going to name the baby Mason. Friends and family were all referring to this baby as Baby Mason. Dustin teases me still about this, but once I held that sweet baby, the verse from 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 20 kept going through my head. In due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son, and she called him Samuel, for she said, "I have asked for him from the Lord." How could we not name this beautiful baby Samuel? A few months later at my hospital, we actually had a patient that needed an emergency surgery after having a late-term miscarriage at home. My supervisor asked if I would take care of her because I went through a similar situation. I was nervous about it, but I did it. I was grateful I could help her and make her horrible day a little more manageable. My hospital closed its labor and delivery unit in 2012. And we lost those special trained nurses that took care of families that had a pregnancy or infant loss. My hospital still routinely took care of patients that had miscarriages or ectopic pregnancies, but we couldn't offer them extra support anymore. I now had a special calling in my heart to bring back some of those services. With the support of my boss and the chief nursing officer, I took a week-long training and am currently running the program at my hospital to support families in need of these services. In 2017, we decided to grow our family. That year, we got pregnant two more times, but they also both ended in miscarriage. Dustin and I both agreed we couldn't keep putting ourselves through this. Our hearts would be filled with hope and joy and then completely broken a couple weeks later. We took a break and prayed a lot. We decided to try one more time. And in fall of 2018, I was pregnant again. This time I was being followed by a fertility specialist for the first trimester. Every week I would go in for blood work and an ultrasound. We found out early on that my progesterone level was low, and I started taking supplements to correct this. Every week before the appointment, I would get extremely anxious. I feared that at the appointment, there would be no heartbeat. Around the 10th week, I remember getting ready to leave for the appointment. I was again extremely anxious, thinking about not hearing a heartbeat at this appointment. As I was walking out of the door, this sense of calm and relaxation went through my body. I stopped in my tracks and heard a voice say, "It will be okay. This baby will be okay, and it will be a girl." At the time, I thought it was an angel that talked to me. And now that blonde little girl that you often see dancing at the end of the 8:30 service is that baby. Some of you here I know prayed for me during my last pregnancy, and I want to thank you. Dustin and I were not members here at the time, but my mom was. She asked me if her church could pray for us too, and I said, of course. My faith journey is about choosing faith over fear. It is about giving my fears and anxieties to God. I have learned how to really pray and be patient for the answer. My faith journey is about God's plan, not my plan. I still catch myself getting caught up in all the day-to-day stress of life, but I now will stop myself and say, Laura, faith over fear. Thank you.